Welcome, everybody, to The Rad Life, the only talk radio show that takes you along with host and age explorer Rod Gontos on his continuing journey of discovery into life's challenges, opportunities, options, and all the latest and greatest things that come with getting older. The Rad Life is brought to you this week by Your Home for a Lifetime, a company dedicated to empowering you to stay safely, independently, and comfortably in your own home. And now here is your host, Rad Gontos.
Good afternoon, everybody. It's another Wednesday. That means it's another episode of The Rad Life coming to you from the tower headquarters of Orange County.
Towering over Orange County.
Streaming, not screaming, talk radio.
Streaming, not screaming.
Orange County talk radio with Paul Roberts at the boards,
or yes,
do you
sir.
Say at the keys?
At the boards.
At the boards.
Manning the boards.
Manning the boards. And we have a guest today that I have known for a number of years. I met him just before he was one of those people who exodused California. And he'll tell you all about it in a bit. But I reconnected with him. And so Brandon Burton's on today as my guest from his company, Securing Life Today.
I can secure my life today?
You can.
Oh, my goodness. I'm going to pay attention.
Some of us may want to secure you.
Like, secure me to the chair.
Literally, like, secure you, wall you in or something. Right? Securing life today. And
not tomorrow. I can do it today.
Brandon, just a little bit of background on Brandon. Brandon is became a financial advisor in 2007 after coming home from his last tour of duty in Iraq with the Marines. Spent 6 years as a top 1% advisor with Northwestern Mutual. Burton also received prestigious awards such as Top 40 Under 40 in Business in Southern California in 2012. And Brandon, how old are you now?
34.
So he's still under the 40. So he really has a sort of a knack and a passion for helping people succeed. It was very clear when I first met him that he's definitely motivated by that. And in 2014, he realized that the future of finance was going through this sort of very, you know, everything's coming through electronic devices, your handheld smartphones, your
like
computers.
You're holding yours right now here.
Right. And, you know, Securing Life Today, he founded it to help empower people to have financial clarity, making things simple and fun so that they can grow, you know, securing their quality of life.
Now, wait a second. Can I stop you for a second? Life, see, he's too young. Life is not secure. Life is not clear, and often it's not fun.
I would call it the sound of wisdom coming from that chair, but it's not really a sound of wisdom. It's just sound of
cranky
age.
Old man.
Cranky old man. Okay, and by the way, you're on the table.
I am.
You and your generation will be part of our conversation today.
Oh my goodness.
Oh yeah. Well, we're going to go there.
I think I got
to
leave.
So with that being said, Brandon, welcome to the show.
Thank you for having me.
And I gave people a little bit of a background, but why don't you give us a little bit more? Because I know there's more to the story.
And in process, tell us what the heck this thing is.
Well, hold on.
I know. I want to get jumped to the secure part.
This is the thing about baby boomers.
I don't want to hear the backstory.
They want everything now.
Now.
And why don't they have it already? Okay?
Oh.
And we'll come back to this, and yet they didn't really apply that same sort of forethought to the fact that they may be living a lot more years
Never.
Than they thought.
That's the
and that
problem.
They should plan for their financial security.
Plan? What's a plan?
Okay. So with that being said, that's actually, Paul, perfect. You set up the stage for that part of the conversation perfectly. Brandon, take us out. Give us a little background, who you are, give the website.
So I'm the CEO and founder of a financial technology company called Securing Life Today, securinglifetoday.com.
And could we get you to speak up just a little bit? You were louder at the beginning. Now you're getting softer here.
Yeah.
You scared him. That's why.
I probably did.
Yeah. Our company is a financial technology fintech company called Securing Life Today, securinglifetoday.com. Can you hear me better now?
Yeah. You're good.
And so basically, it's been a long journey to get to this point and to create a company like this and to figure out a solution. Basically, it's very simple. It's financial software that lets you connect all your financial accounts to one centralized place that makes finances simple and clear, basically. It's fun and interactive. It lets you do budgeting, basically a financial compass for wherever you need to go in your life. I started out as a financial advisor after I got out of the Marine Corps in 2006 after my last tour in Iraq. And
how many tours did you do? You keep saying last as if you did several.
Yeah, two tours in Iraq and Fallujah, Iraq. And so when I got out of the military, I wanted to become a financial advisor, but the story started before that. So at a very early age, I was exposed to financial difficulties in my family. My parents were very irresponsible with money. And, you know, it became clear to me that the money thing was a survival mechanism. And I had seen how much it can affect people's life if they don't know what they need to know, basically, or create a plan, let's just say, or even just a simple thing like a budget.
Mm-hmm.
And so I'd been exposed to that at a very early age, and it went on for a long time, and which ultimately led me to needing to go into the military. I wanted to get an education, and I knew that I didn't come from a family that would ever be able to provide that. So after being in the military and, you know, growing up even faster, learning about discipline, respect, you know, motivation, all these things, I also had realized in the military, no one understood how to manage their money either. So it just became more clear to me that the financial thing is very difficult for most people and they don't know where to start. So a lot of people just avoid it. So basically I was in Iraq, getting ready to go on a convoy, and I'm a motor T guy. So our job was to drive around people. So, you know, often we were driving around very important people like colonels, generals.
Yeah.
And, one of these individuals had seen me in the motor pool on the computer, on like a TD Ameritrade, you know, website.
Wait, hold on. Hold on. You were on a convoy in Fallujah, and you had brass in the car, and you were basically day trading on Ameritrade?
No. So we hadn't started the convoy yet. So
okay.
We're on the base in the motor pool, you know, getting ready to do our briefing before we go out on the convoy.
Oh, okay. All right. So everything was correct what I said other than the fact that you were not moving in the convoy at the time.
Yes.
But okay. You're in a foreign country in a battle zone, and you're trying to trade.
Well, I'm actually, like, investing my money.
I know, but most people would be trying to figure out how they're going
to... I'm just trying to paint this picture, right? I mean, this would be a scene in some sort of, like, campy, you know, military...
Apocalypse Now
know,
kind of movie,
thing. Like,
yeah.
Where, you know, here's the guy that basically... How old were you at the time?
So when I got out of...
Well, you have to be legal enough to open an account.
21, 22.
You're in Fallujah, and for those who don't know, that's not like a resort destination.
No,
okay?
that's in country, as they say. Yeah.
Right.
So well, and actually, to take it a step further, the company colonel CO actually like had told all the people, hey, you know, look at this Marine. You know, he's using his time wisely, getting an education, preparing for his future. You guys should really, you know, consider doing other things than playing like video games on your spare time and all that.
So wait, hold on. So not only were you on Ameritrade, you were actually taking classes while you were in Iraq?
Yeah, I actually was getting my associate's. Yeah, I mean,
you're getting your associate's degree while you were in you were enlisted basically, or serving.
So
wow.
For every second I wasn't on a convoy as a driver or a machine gunner, I was finishing my education and preparing myself for the world I was about to come into.
Most young people, particularly in a combat zone, a machine gunner would only be thinking about, what am I going to do tonight, and what am I going to do tomorrow? Am I going to be alive tomorrow?
It actually helped take my mind off of the real reality that I was in.
That makes a lot of sense. That makes a lot of sense.
So going back to that, so one of the colonels, generals, saw me, and he's like, hey, you know how to do that stuff? You know how to invest money and all that? And I'm like, yeah. And so he asked to set up a meeting with me. You know, when they were done with our convoy.
Unbelievable.
Don't interrupt him. Okay,
unbelievable.
Okay, keep going.
Yeah, this is a true story.
Yeah.
So, I mean, all my...
You couldn't make up a story like this. It has to be true.
Yeah, all my Marine friends know it because they support me right now in what we're doing and are also, like, client users of the technology. But anyways, so basically, I set up a meeting with him at his request and taught him, like, the basics of, like, mutual funds and investing and all that. And so I knew that that's what I wanted to do when I got out because I had a natural skill for it and that it seemed like gravity was coming to me.
Yeah.
And so when I got out of the Marine Corps, I took my test to become a financial advisor and never looked back.
Okay. So then what happened?
Yeah. So I became a financial advisor in Southern California with Northwestern Mutual, you know, top of the table, you know, top 1%.
Top provider.
You know, top 40 under 40 in Southern California. And just basically, you know, learned everything I could and became very successful at helping individuals, mostly wealthy individuals.
Yeah.
And basically after doing that for some time, kind of had like a little bit of an identity crisis.
And let's talk about that a little bit, because I know that that's part of very critical part of your journey.
It's actually the reason why I'm here today talking to you. So because of my identity crisis, which was basically I grew up in Southern California, but very poor, living in a one-bedroom apartment, you know, in like Santa Ana, to now giving advice to millionaires, you know, 100 millionaires.
Yeah.
And so I became very good at that, but it got to a point where I felt like I wasn't really adding any value to the majority of the population. And coming from a background like mine, the reason why I got into the financial industry was to help people, not just wealthy people. But the financial industry, the natural business model for financial advisors is go to the wealthy people because you'll make more money per volume.
That's just low-hanging fruit.
Yeah, and I got really good at that. But the problem was I'm like, I'm not helping the people who really need help with their finances the most.
What? So let's stop you for a second here. What, Brandon, where do you think that sense of service comes from? I mean, obviously you served in the military, but do you think that sense of service comes out of the necessity that you saw displayed by what you refer to as, you know, like irresponsible behavior from your parents or people that you were growing up around? Or do you think it goes further?
I think it's a lot. I think it's a little bit of a lot of things.
Okay.
It became clear to me that it didn't matter who I talked to. You could be making no money or you could be making $1 million a year. It doesn't matter who it was. All of them needed guidance with their money. All of them felt like they needed to depend on someone else to give them that advice for the majority.
Yeah.
And I think that's a fundamental flaw in our society.
How so?
Well, because before the banking industry came along, back in the Western days, people managed their own money, and it was called stick it under their mattress, and they had a gun.
It wasn't that long ago when you used to take classes in school where you were taught certain things like making a budget, saving, things of that nature, and that's all gone.
Correct.
Yeah.
Basically, in the Western days, the banking industry was formed to protect people's money from the bank robbers, but then the banking industry became the bank robber in modern day right now.
Right.
So I think it's a fundamental flaw that we ultimately default think that we need to talk to someone else about money advice or managing our money.
Mm-hmm.
I think that we human beings giving away that power is extremely powerful. And if we were able to harness that power ourselves, it would radically change the direction of where every person in our country is going.
Mm-hmm. What's the encouragement, what is the incentive for us to be put in a situation where we're encouraged to give up that power?
You want to know what the truth is?
Yeah, I do.
We don't know what we don't know. And the government understands psychology very well.
Yeah.
And so if you don't know what to do with your money or you don't know how to feel secure about it and someone else comes along and says, hey, we've got a solution – and we'll take all these fears away from you,
mm-hmm.
you know, maybe you'd be willing to give up that power to someone else. And that's exactly what's happened. And over the course of, you know, since World War II and J.P. Morgan became, you know, the pioneer of the financial industry, ever since basically World War II, you know, consumers have been losing financial power.
Well, the thing that's underlying this is that we are always encouraged, constantly encouraged, to have somebody else do for us instead of us do for ourselves. And whether it's because we're too busy, so let me handle it, or what have you. And I'm not saying that we cannot do that. All I'm saying is that sometimes that comes with a price. And the price may not be the fee or the monthly membership or whatever. The price may be a lot more long-lasting than that. And what you're talking about is, I think, resonates across multiple fields, not just financial advisory or, you know, taking care of our own finances, but I think it applies to everything, politics, informing ourselves, engaging in our own communities. We always expect that somebody else will take care of it. Oh, I see a homeless person. Oh, somebody else will handle that. I'll just keep driving. It's an interesting reflection on our society, which, when it comes down to this, it's super critical. I mean, right now we are dealing with a government shutdown, and I'm not going to get political on this, but I saw something very interesting today where the conversations are starting to really reflect the fact that what is a game of politics that's being played in D.C. has a direct impact on almost a million people that are dependent on the federal government. And that
let me take it another step further. I mean, I subscribe to, I'm open to ideas.
Yeah.
And I don't necessarily think that the government, like, I don't subscribe to the conspiracy theory aspect of, you know, things. But I will say that it's a fact, and it needs to be researched, because the media distorts everything and tries to cover up what's really happening with something that's fake.
Not OC Talk Radio, you know. Not OC Talk Radio. We're only telling the truth here.
So it's a fact.
Let the man tell the truth.
The United States government, a.k.a. the Navy, who I work for, the Marine Corps is a department of the Navy. It is a fact that the United States government and Navy created the first computer. Not China, Russia, anyone else.
Yep.
And also created the Internet.
Yep.
And so now let me ask.
Sorry, Al Gore.
Well, let me ask you. Yeah, that's right. People say no, it wasn't Al Gore, and start laughing, and that's my point exactly. Yeah. Is that they don't want you to learn the real information.
Yeah.
They want to feed you with what you want to hear and make a joke out of everything. Mm-hmm. You know, but it's not a joke when they send us to war to go fight a country over finances, right?
Absolutely not. And you know what? I was born in the country that you were stationed at. In 1965. And I know the politics over there and what we deem here as national security, when what it really is, it's all about the money. You know, as my good friend Bill Baskin will always tell me, when I get impassioned about something and I come over and I download to him, he'll look at me with the most, you know, kind of like, are you still talking? Kind of eyes. And he'll say, the answer is money. What was the question?
Yeah, no. And so let me just pose this thought for everyone that's listening. I just said that the government created the first computer and the first internet protocol.
Yeah.
Okay? Now, is it ironic that the whole financial industry is completely ran by computers?
Yep.
Now, let me ask you a question. Does the government do things and then all of a sudden say, well, we built this, we might as well use it for this?
Most technological developments are a result, and this is not limited to the United States, but most technological development throughout history has been a byproduct of military innovation.
So let me ask you a question. Is the internet and the computer a weapon?
Of course they are.
Absolutely. So this technology that we're even talking on right now was developed by the government.
You can argue we're using it as one right now.
No, we're going against what they don't want to
happen. But a weapon in its own nature is not necessarily a negative. It depends on how you use it and what you point it at.
Correct. So technology can be used for positive or negative. It can build up or it can destroy.
Right.
Okay, so is it ironic or is it a coincidence that our whole financial system is completely ran by machines, or did that just happen as a byproduct of building this amazing technology? I'll also tell you that the first algorithm that was created by the government was called Conquer and Divide, okay? And this algorithm, which everything is an algorithm now in technology, but the first algorithm before it was understood as an algorithm, it was designed to rearrange order. So, like, as an example, and there's videos about this, and there's research, you could study it, factual information, okay? This first algorithm was designed to rearrange in any order of circumstances or sequences and rearrange it in the most economical, efficient manner, fast as possible. And that's what algorithms do. And so basically what it did was it figured out how to rearrange things in the fastest order. Well, when 9/11 happened, we have experienced the largest change of money that's ever happened before. Mm-hmm. Like, the largest exchange of money happened from the start of 9/11 to right now. Mm-hmm. And if you look at how fast that's happened and how the biggest companies now rule everything, mm-hmm. one could say that they've been using this technology all along, and the point of creating it so long ago was for the very moment that we're living in and participating in right now, and we don't know that.
Well, I don't, you know, here's the funny thing, Brandon. I think, you know, there's, you know, I'm you know, I'm listening to you and I'm thinking Blade Runner, I'm thinking, you know, George Orwell, 1984.
I was born in 1984, by the way.
Oh, well, that explains everything now. Okay, but my point is, we're scaring a baby boomer who was the initiation generation of conspiracy theories. Really, what happened to you people?
You're saying that somehow the technology was put in place to enslave the masses here?
Well,
Let me ask you a question. If money operates faster than we can keep up,
right?
Then that's a form of enslavement system. That's a system.
Well, yeah, you could talk about the toll roads here as being a form of
economic
economic discrimination, because it basically is discriminatory depending on the, you know, what kind of resources you have. You could talk about all of this stuff. I think there's probably truth to the fact that technology is developed, or things are developed, in most cases, not in all cases, with a positive intention in mind, at least for the immediate focus of why the technology or the research is being done. Now, once that information is out, which again, any academician will tell you that they are going to go do a thesis on something, they will dig up the old data, the old studies, and in some cases they will find nuggets and things that they can repurpose that to the purpose of what they're focusing on. It started off with things as simple as, you know, old Roman mines that were mined by hand by slaves, and they could only go down so far before they hit a water table. And then this thing called the steam engine came around, and now you could actually pump water out and get things from deeper. Now, these mines that were supposedly dead mines that had nothing to give anymore now had another year, you know, 10 years, 15 years of life, giving out resources. And a lot of wealth that was done in that, you know, the rubber barons and the likes of Getty and Harvey Mudd and so forth, the technology there was used to reactivate resources that were already there. So I agree with you to a certain point. I also agree that sometimes this happens because, and I want to bring it back around, because we as individuals, we as members of society, we as communities abdicate our desire or want to take care of things for ourselves.
Personal responsibility, that's what he's talking about.
It's not so much personal responsibility as just abdicating taking personal accountability of yourself. Because when somebody comes to me and says, look, pay me, you know, $5 a month and I will take care of your whatever, you know, like make sure that your bank account is basically constantly reported to you, blah, blah, blah. And I sign okay, because I'm thinking, well, that's $5 a month, but, you know, the price I may be paying for that is higher. So I want to bring it, again, full circle back around. What we were talking about here is there's an opportunity cost associated with money. There's a personal accountability and responsibility associated with money. And we are in a society, which not like overnight, but in a society that for a while now, the most basic skill sets that are required, having a budget, living up to it. My grandfather used to say, stretch your legs to the length of your blanket. Okay, we don't stretch our legs to the length of our blanket. We pretend our blanket is three times as long, and then we basically just pay everything out. I mean, there are people, when people say people live paycheck to paycheck, and we somehow as a society are okay with that, there's a problem.
Yeah, let me just say this. Okay, so, like, again, I have a lot of facts to back up the thoughts that I have. So
yep.
These are not just, like, random spews. This has been a lot of evidence, a lot of facts compiled together like a puzzle piece. And then the picture is what it is, and you know what artwork is. The reason why artwork is so expensive is because you can take on your own interpretation of
your own interpretation dictates the value that you put to it.
Correct. So here's my thought. You know, like, based on everything I said, it's strange that God had, you know, put me in all these circumstances.
And you had some challenges, right, Brendan? I mean, you had some challenges when you were here, and you were, you know, what you just described was, you know, the very rosy situation. You're in the top 1% or 2% at
Northwestern
Mutual. Thank you. And then basically, you know, I mean, you were in your 20s. I mean, somebody is looking at you going, man, this man has no problems at all. He has no issues at all, right?
Right.
But that's not really the case.
Well, it ended up being that I was too smart for my own good at Northwestern. And because everyone in the company knew who I was and I was receiving national awards, top 1%, you know, everyone wanted my attention and time and asked me how I do things and all that. Mm-hmm. So I became, you know, an important figure. But what I realized was, the company wasn't doing the right thing. You know, legally, they have the, you know, best money can buy attorneys. You know, they're a Fortune 100 company. You would never think they're doing anything wrong. Well, on the contrary, you know, they were doing very unethical things. And as a Marine combat veteran who's trained to raise their hand if something's wrong, let's just put it this way. They were being unethical to the point where, I mean, I'm not technically allowed to say this, but, you know, I was awarded money to keep my mouth shut.
Mm-hmm.
So I actually took that money that I was awarded and started this company.
And what made you move to Texas?
Well, the cost of living was more affordable for me to start a new business that I had no idea what I was about to get myself into.
Mm-hmm.
And what is this business? I'm still lost. What is it that what is it you do
life today
beyond being a financial advisor?
Yeah, so it's a financial app, money. It's software that people can easily use, and it's fun and easy. And the person can connect all their different financial accounts and see the big picture in one place. And it's interactive. They can do budgeting. They can connect to their financial advisor.
All right, so I'm going to pick it up. Let me just dig a little deep here, because the picture is still a little fuzzy in my head. Is this like a dashboard where I can see my bank account and what else? What else would I see other than my credit card and what else?
All your financial accounts, all your company benefits, if you have a 401k, your mortgage.
It's all in one place.
Yes.
So then it displays it some. How does it look like a dashboard? Can I change the dashboard? How does it display this information to me? How does having all that in one place help?
Very organized and neat. So again, let me just give you an example of what I'm saying.
And again, the website is securinglifetoday.com.
Okay, I'm going to go look at it while we're talking here.
Yeah. So let me just paint the picture for you, and it'll become crystal clear what I mean. Okay. So think of your financial life right now like a puzzle, but the puzzle is not put together for you right now, okay? Okay?
Hell, I don't even have the picture on the box cover to go by.
No, you don't. No,
yeah, really, that's what you're supposed to do. You're supposed to look at the box cover.
I don't even have a clue what the picture of the box cover is.
Exactly. So not only do you not know what it's supposed to look like, but you have all these pieces that you are supposed to use your imagination to put together a snapshot picture of your current financial life.
Yeah.
Well, the current way you have to do that is like a puzzle. You have to go to these different websites.
Different apps, different websites.
Right, right. And so what this allows you to do is connect your account securely by connecting it. You go through the same process you would to log into your actual institution bank website, but you connect it securely through this, and if you enter your information correctly, it'll connect all your account information and it updates in real time just as your institution updates. So you literally see the full picture for the first time ever. And so let me ask you a question.
So hold on a second, Brendan. So let me ask you. Now, there's some institutions out there that have multiple vehicles or multiple forms of investments. They have checking accounts, they have savings accounts, they have all kinds of different things, right? And investment vehicles. And in those cases, if I go to those apps, in most of the items, not all of them, I am able to actually view all my stuff from that particular institution on that app. Am I not?
More companies are coming out of the woodwork now because they know that it's the future. But depending on what they allow you to do, like, for instance, like Bank of America has a new app, and, you know, but you can't connect, like, all your other accounts or, you know.
Oh, I know. I mean, and Chase has theirs, and you can connect your, like, I have my business accounts and my personal accounts. And I can view them at all times. I have my credit card from Chase. I can view it at all times. What I'm saying is, and I'm not trying to point, you know, poke holes in what you're saying. I'm saying is that if you happen to have everything with one institution,
then you probably don't need to use our service.
However, I will say this. Having everything with one institution, if you're somewhat savvy, may not mean that you're getting the best deal on every single one of those items, like your investment or your right?
Well, so
then you would need a third-party platform that allows you more personalized control, regardless of where you have your stuff.
Correct. So in today's world, you literally can't get the best deal at one company for all things.
Mm-hmm.
And so in this world we live in today, in order for us to get the best, we have to have a complicated circumstance in order to make that happen. But
which makes it more complicated, which makes me not want to do it, which makes me want to just basically settle and compromise. I get it.
So basically, our technology lets you connect to, like, your financial advisors, if you have a CPA. So even the bank websites that have tools similar, they still don't do as much as ours does. And so we're kind of, like, on the forefront of having the best type of program right now.
What's your answer to people who say, well, but how secure is it?
That's a good question.
I mean, the technology is built by Fidelity. So, I mean, you know, do you ask Chase if their technology is safe?
No, and that's why. What I'm asking you is, as a third party, and I'm not saying that it's not. I'm just saying, how do you provide the comfort to somebody who has a concern?
We have videos that talk about it and that provide all the specific details about how it's encrypted. The same SLS encryption as all the banks. It's bank level technology.
Right.
Has bank level insurance attached to it. Bank level security. I mean, everything is great and nothing negative has happened.
Well, let's pull the scab off the wound here a little bit and say that anybody who still believes that their personal information is not out there. I don't know what you're drinking, but you might want to pass me some.
Who was
of
it
that.
To just get?
Because there is no such thing as. I mean, your default setting on things is that you are opted in. You actually have to opt out.
Yeah.
Okay.
Unless you go back to the mattress method.
The mattress method. I mean, somebody's going to basically have a track record of you basically pulling the stuff from an ATM, maybe, or, you know, the thing about it is we live in a world that has a certain level of convenience that we have gotten accustomed to. That convenience isn't necessarily out of laziness only. It's also in our ability, and you can argue chicken or the egg, but in our ability to basically multitask and do more and get more out of our days.
Yeah,
now, whether you agree that's a good thing or a bad thing, I happen to have a mixed feeling about it. We are caught in the vortex of hashtag do more when we really shouldn't be looking at encouraging do more. We should be encouraging do less, but maybe more efficient about it. But we
and
live
that's
in a
where technology right, and that's where technology comes into play
as a positive, right?
Right.
And like everything else, a tool is a tool. You use it to in a positive way that enriches your life. Great. You use it in a way that basically becomes a pain and a drain on your life. That is something that you have the ability to control. But again, we go back to that personal accountability. Technology itself is not bad. How
but
you use
it. Do with it. Yeah, exactly. Yeah.
So on your platform, let me just stop you. So I'm looking at it here. First of all, I have to congratulate you. You have Jenna Keough from the original Housewives, Orange County Housewives here as a supporter of yours. She's her picture's here saying she uses the platform. I don't know how you approached her or found her, if that's through...
You're talking to a man who at the age of 21 was basically advising generals how to invest while he was stationed in Fallujah.
Okay, you got some celebrities doing this thing here. What do I get beyond... I'm looking at the site. It's $4 a month or $36 a year, and for that, I can bring in all my different investments, my house, mortgage, my credit cards, my bank accounts.
For $36 a year or $4 a month, you get unlimited power and control over your overall financial life.
What I was going to ask is, do you have other advice in there? Are there, like you have Rocket Lawyer as a sponsor here. If you go to Rocket Lawyer, they give you videos and audio and other things. There's a library of additional content to help you take over and run your life. I would think at some point you'd want to add a catalog archive of other media information so that once I've taken control of this information, now I learn what to do with it.
Yeah, and inside the dashboard, there's a workshop section that people can educate and learn about any topic, personal finances, through a professional video that's been done already or, you know, an article that's been vetted out.
Because once you get me to take control of it, then the next question is, now what? Okay, so I see it all, and there's some...
Yeah, but your eyes are now open. Now you see,
exactly.
Now you look at the opportunity.
Exactly, and I say, all right, so maybe I should be doing... Maybe I should look at more insurance products. Maybe I should look at changing my mortgage. Maybe I should look at doing something. I hadn't looked at all this
I'll use another example, guys. I don't know, Brendan, if you agree with me, but here's the thing. People are... very hesitant. It's a drag. I don't want to do my taxes. I don't want to know.
Right? You're looking at me.
Right?
Yeah.
Oh, my God. Right?
Right.
And then you do your taxes, and then you realize, oh, crap. I generated how much last year? But I had no clue. So I'm walking around all year round.
Good or bad, right? Yeah.
Right. No, but my point is that knowledge has power. I do want to put a little levity into this. Why I reconnected with Brendan a couple of days ago is because he actually had done a little posting. So I'm going to let him share his thing about a Versace. Was it Versace?
Yeah. I mean, it was just,
A Versace, hold on, a Versace what though, Brandon? Tell everybody.
Just a pair of sneakers.
A Versace pair of sneakers.
I didn't even know the word
Versace
sneakers.
You want to tell the story about the Versace pair of sneakers?
Well, sure. I mean, when I was making a lot of money, so I wasn't really focused on...
how you were spending it?
Money. I wasn't focused on the managing of my money as much because the money was coming in constantly and I didn't have to worry about it.
Right.
I like nice things, so they work hard. And, I use this story because, it's real life example.
Like, yep.
So I buy a pair of $1,000, sneakers.
$1,000 sneakers, okay.
Yeah, I mean, and by the way, this is what our society and media is pushing on everyone
sure.
in today's age.
Hey, you need to buy these $1,000 sneakers.
I got to have them.
Right, so here's my point.
By the way, just curious, because I actually happen to see them on camera. How many times did you wear those Versace's?
I mean, maybe 6-7 times.
Okay, all right. Go ahead.
Wow.
Finish this story. I think it's a very powerful story. Go ahead.
So, and this is a lot of people, too. So let's say it was 10 years ago, 9 years ago. Let's just say it was probably 2019. No, 2011. So, like, 8 years ago, right?
Okay, say 10 for argument's sake.
So I buy a pair of $1,000 shoes 8 years ago, let's just say, right?
Uh-huh.
And I wore them 7 times. Now, 8 years into the future, I still have these shoes, and they cost me $1,000 8 years ago.
Yep.
If I would have bought a less expensive shoe, let's just say that cost you know, $100, let's just say.
Yeah.
Okay, and that's still expensive.
Yeah, that's still expensive.
I would still probably have the same shoe today like I have the Versace, but the difference is the amount of money I would have had in my life today versus just a pair of shoes that have no value.
And what is what was the opportunity cost of that $900 that you would have basically said?
I mean, if I would have invested that $900 8 years ago, it would have been worth, you know, $5,000 today. So today, instead of having $5,000 more in my bank account, I have a pair of shoes.
That's out of style.
Every time I look at, I have a pair of shoes that every time I look at, I'm thinking, why did I do that? But I wasn't able to understand this concept unless time went by for me to understand what I could have done differently. And that's what I'm trying to educate people on, is that we no longer think about buying things and taking our time to determine if we really want those things or they're going to add value in the future or not, because everything is instant want and desire.
You could see something on a particular page today, to your point, and then by the end of the week, there's an that's already on sale, and there's another item now that I should get.
Oh yeah, we live in a
disposable system. And Amazon delivers it for me in 24 hours with Prime. So guess what? I just bought it twice this week because I can't be out of style. I can't be out of time. I can't not compete. It's really funny. It's taken the keeping up with the Joneses to the next level.
Well, and there's no impulse control. It's easy just to push a button now. There's right.
Well, here's what you can't do.
Barrier.
You can't fast forward your life 8 years into the future and understand it to make a decision in the present today whether it would be a good decision in the future or not, because you don't know how things are going to work out.
Right.
So, but in the past, we used to have to save our money and it took time. And then over time, did we still have the same desire when we first instantly felt that want, or did it change? And a lot of times in life, over time, it changes and be like, oh, I don't really need that $1,000 pair of shoes. But in the world we live in today with the instant, we get robbed of that emotional consideration and process. And now I'll even take it a step further, okay? Your brain, I think it says like 25 frames per second or something like that? Like, your brain picks up, like, 25 frames per second.
That's the speed of a motion picture. So when they experimented years ago and they would roll
the popcorn.
Yeah, they would roll the film in front of people and they'd see at what point does it look natural? How many frames per second can your eye grab before it starts to look like
either
natural?
Too
movement?
Fast or too slow.
Yeah,
right.
And 24 frames per second is the since the birth of film has been the now they've gone up to 30, but 24 to 30 is the proper speed of a film.
Well, what I'm going with this is, okay, our brains work off of electrical signals. So technology in the internet creates an electrical signal in your brain. And so it's been proven that when you see something and you keep seeing it, it's not a matter of if it ever happens that you want to go purchase it. They did this study with children. Like, when children saw ads on TV for toys, like, that child ended up getting that toy. It wasn't an option, and here's why. Because there was an electrical signal that was connected for the first time ever, and that signal in the brain never went away until they actually self-realized getting it. And so if you think about, like, instant gratification today, when people see stuff on, like, Instagram, and they see all this, like, expensive watches and all that, and they want it, that's creating an electrical signal and saying, I need to get that. And the way that they see it and connect that electrical signal is in an instant fashion. So wouldn't that also mean that that's causing us to kind of short-circuit our process of evaluating whether we really need
Absolutely it is. It's taken it out of the equation completely. Because now your response time is reactive and not deductive.
So how do you think that adds up in the world of everything? I mean, it's a pretty interesting psychological conversation.
Everybody buys everything they want when they want it.
Will Right.
And but it comes with a cost, is what I think Brandon is saying.
Yeah, big cost.
Right. Well, and I'm also going back to the fact that technology was created for weaponry, whether for positive or for negative, but it can, it's addictive. So all of these things are working off of our neurological circuitry, and we think, oh my God, this is the best thing that's ever happened to us, but behind the scenes, it's being deployed as a weapon.
Well, I would love to do further dive into this, but the black helicopters are outside the building now, and they're going to cut off our signal any second here. So how do people get in touch with you to learn more? And I'd like you to stay on after the line, and let's talk some more about how we can help you tell this story bigger and better.
Yeah, so, I mean, the easiest thing is just go to securinglifetoday.com, and you can learn about the program, sign up for a free trial, learn about how the technology it can help you and solve any of your financial problems. You can go onto Facebook, you can go onto LinkedIn. You can basically just type in Brandon Burton or Securing Life Today in Google, and article stories will come up.
Connect with Brandon on LinkedIn as well. Yeah, it's very interesting, again, and why I wanted you to be on this show is we talk about this stuff so little. And we've prided ourselves on this show to talk about things that we either have an affinity for, but we don't discuss enough, or things that we should be talking about, but we don't talk about, whether it be, you know, how do you get to your parent who's in their 80s to give up their driving
license? Or the things we can't face and don't want to talk about.
Or the things that we can't face and we need to talk about. And it was interesting to me because here we are starting a new year. Here we are in a society where basically everything is highlighted as being a must-have. That is the whole push, and everything now is through influencers. Like, we have freaking influencers telling me to buy stuff.
You're an influencer.
Right. But with that, I think, also comes a certain amount of responsibility.
Right.
Right.
It's not about telling somebody what they shouldn't do. It's about telling somebody, hey, you may not be aware that there's other tools, other skills that you might benefit from. And here's here's Brandon talking about his own personal experience when he was, before he even went into the military. Then he comes out of it and he's working, producing, living the sort of the
living
American
dream yeah.
right? In Southern California. Then he realizes that there's problems, and it causes
him... I realized that the financial industry, needs a major makeover. And
right, like a lot of industries, by the way.
Right,
yeah.
Right.
I mean, it's in a way, it's the nature of the beast, if you will. Something gets big enough and big and massive, at some point, it's unavoidable with the layers of bureaucracy, the layers of multiple departments. It becomes very unavoidable that it steps away from its main original purpose. And unless an industry or a company is motivated from the top down to continue to be relevant and keep the customer's best interest in mind, not in terms of what to sell them, but what to enhance their lives with, that is something that we see happen every day in every industry.
As Spider-Man said, with great power comes
great
responsibility. We have a responsibility to our advertisers to get to the next show here, but I appreciate you coming on, and I would like to talk offline because I think what you're onto is fascinating, and I think it's just the tip of the iceberg. Getting control of the data is one thing. Now, what do you do with that data?
Well, let's talk about his particular industry just for a second as we're closing here, right? If you think if you take a population of people and you ask them the question, well, what's a financial advisor? Today, they will probably give you one that is relevant to some, you know, advising people that have means or providing support in how to shelter from taxes and things of that nature. But basic financial advice, unless you happen to be a reader of, you know, like Susie Orman or read, you know, an avid reader who's interested in, you know, budgeting your own life, setting up budgets, doing this stuff like that, where does that information come from? It doesn't. It used to even be part of the curriculum in schools to teach people basic, you know, finance, you know, how to housekeep.
But that's why there's a hunger for, you know, he has Ameritrade on as one of his sponsors, to trade your own stocks, to be your own lawyer. To be your own financial advisor.
Captain your own ship.
Yeah.
Brandon, Thank you, man. I'm just going to give you one extra minute here. Anything else you want to share before we go?
No, just, I'm really doing something that I never thought I would ever dream of doing, and I feel very honored and humbled because I have, like you said, a responsibility to me to help our whole country move in an upward direction. And I honestly feel like I've been tasked with one of the hardest things known to man, but at the same time, I see the light at the end of the tunnel and know that this has to happen for our people. Like, we can no longer stay where we are. We're all going to greatly suffer in the generations in front of us. So we must radically change where we are today. And I can't do that without the help of others. So thank you very much for the opportunity to be on this show and to have more people hear about how to change their life and empower their lives financially with technology.
Self-empowerment.
You know, we talk about us being a nation that is, you know, the shining city on the hill. You know what's interesting is I think we've lost focus of the fact that the shine doesn't come from the clean buildings. It actually comes from the people that are happy that live in that city.
That are glowing.
That's where the real glow comes from, and it's a little tarnished. The buildings look great. The people's glow is sort of sparkle.
We look a little beat down.
We're more worried about the outside appearance than what's inside. And last time I checked, you know, your health is in the inside, not on the outside. And so, you know, you can have a
amen, brother.
You can have everything on the outside, but you know, you got to ask yourself the question. You know, where's the money in my bank account?
I gotta amen, cut this brother. Off, guys. Here,
thank you, Brandon.
Hang on the line here, and we'll set up another time to talk here. Hang on.
Thanks for being on the show, Brandon. I appreciate it. Welcome anytime again, and keep fighting the good fight. Keep doing the good work, man. Everybody, thank you for joining us. This was, I know, a little bit of a different Rad Life, but again, the message is the same. There are certain things we need to be talking about.
And take control of your own life.
Taking control of your own life. And Paul, what is that Spider-Man quote again?
With great power comes great responsibility.
And we'll leave it there.
You have been listening to the Rad Life Radio Show with your host and age explorer, Rad Gontos, brought to you on the one and only OCTalkRadio.net. Join us again next week as we continue our journey of discovery into life's challenges, opportunities, options, and all the latest and greatest things that come with getting older.